Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love His people. I love His ways, His will, His purpose, and how He sees the good in us and how He made preparations for us to go forward. Now, looking at things from a God's eye view, if you're comparing the God's eye view from a personal view or a man's eye view or your personal eye view, we see a small amount of what really is. And I thought about the broadcast I've been doing this week. You know, yesterday I wasn't able to do one on Monday, so I did two yesterday. The first one was called Free, and the other was Unleavened Laborers. And today is February the 2nd, and today's broadcast is, I want to show people how things got to how they were. I talk a lot about the status quo preachers back in the early and mid 90s that the Lord has sent me to, and I love them. And this is, I want people to understand, I don't blame the pastors. It's the culture. I thought about something last night. I listened to the broadcast, and I thought about something. The Lord set us up correctly. If you really pay attention to what Jesus taught and endeavor to do it, you'll start seeing things that you should see. And then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will give you the wisdom of what you should appropriately do about it. That's what happened to me. All I did was, when I first got saved, I started in Genesis, and then I read a chapter every day. But when I, after I saw what Jesus could do, after I received salvation and I felt His peace, I started reading what Jesus said. And I studied on my lunch break every day for years. I would listen to what I would study what Jesus said. Matthew's version, Mark, Luke, and John. I would read them. Then I start over. All right, the Word of God gives you a God's eye view, and it happens over time. Now, while I'm doing this, I thought that all the ministers were fine. I thought I didn't see the problems. It wasn't in my wheelhouse until the Lord brought it to me. So I'm not harping on like a pet doctrine or something. People do that. They have pet doctrines and they're real enthused about it. I was that way at the Pentecostal church. I went to the Holiness Church. Every time somebody preached about being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, that was just the order of the day. And then, now, this is why. When I would pray in the Holy Spirit, I felt God's presence. I felt alive. And all my problems seemed to be gone. It was a good experience. It was a good thing. That's why we were so enthused. And we were so glad that we knew that we would live forever. It was a refreshing way to live. But we didn't know everything. I mean, come on. We were enjoying the Lord. And then there's nothing wrong with that. And we wanted everybody else in the world to get in on it. That's how we felt. And I understand that. And so your enthusiasm, as good as it is, can be misunderstood. And people don't understand your motives. They think you just superstitious or something. But you got the things of God are so new and interesting to you, and when you read the word, it's alive to you and it's good to you. I mean, that's how people feel. Now, I can't make you know how a person, you know, a person can't make you know how they feel. They act accordingly. And then now, not to say that people are wrong because they don't do all those things, because I've also been to denominational churches and people were learning from the Lord. They were hearing the word of God. Their life was started things in their life started making sense for a change, you know. I said this many times, the best Pentecostal people used to be Baptists or Methodists or Lutheran. You know, they used to come, they were in a denominational church first, because denominational churches focus on the word more than some Pentecostals do. But the word is more alive to the Pentecostal people because they have the enthusiasm of the Holy Spirit. But there's another problem. Sometimes people don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit and what he came to do. They focus on how they feel around him. And that's good. I don't want to take that joy away from anybody, because we all need it. But the thing is that, you know, my pastor taught something years ago, the moods of the Holy Spirit. This was one of the wisest teaching I ever heard. Now, sometimes the Lord is in a teaching mood. Sometimes he's in a rejoicing mood. Sometimes he's in a warning mood, a serious mood. You know, and the seven spirits of God, whatever a spirit is broadcasting, that's the type of spirit it is. You have to watch how God word things. When two of Jesus' disciples said, you want us to, why don't we call down fire out of heaven and burn that city up? Jesus said, you don't know what type of spirit you're of. See, the enemy gave them a terrible thought, but they didn't know how to filter it. They didn't have a mechanism to filter it. They were focused on one thing, like most people do. They was focused on the way that the people were offended against Jesus, you know. So that the enemy, you know, he picked up on that offense, and then they said, why don't we just call down fire out of heaven and burn that city up? God, that Jesus said, you don't know what type of spirit you are. Another time, when I think it was Ahab was the king, and Jehoshaphat wanted to get a prophet before they go to battle, you know. Now, I'm trying to remember the story, so if I get a little foggy, forgive me. But he sent for, I think it was Elisha, and when he came, Elisha said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you. He was talking to Ahab, you know. So he told him, he said, they asked him, should he go? And he said, yeah, go. And he asked him three times, yeah, go. And then the last time he said, he showed him what happened in heaven. The Lord said, who will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets? And one of them said, I will go. And I will be, he said, how will you do it? He said, I will be a lying spirit. So that spirit broadcasted lies to that king through his false prophets, of course. And it all seemed real and good. But when they got the real deal, then they knew what the truth was. So that spirit said, I will be a lying spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Now, Jesus called him, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, we got that. Now, Isaiah said that he was, that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon Jesus. Isaiah 11, I'll turn to it. I'm not going to mess up something about the Holy Spirit, because that's not good. Enough people, you know, sometimes when I turn to the scripture, I can, you know, I can recite it perfectly. I do my best with my memory, you know. And sometimes when you listen to these broadcasts, you're going to have to do your own homework. If I say something, you can go, it's all right to go correct it and go find exactly what that scripture said. Now, sometimes I get my stories mixed up. So I've found a few little areas that I did something like that. But listen at this. This is Isaiah 11. Verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." He's talking about Jesus. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." So the Holy Spirit broadcast himself as the Spirit of the Lord. As he broadcast things about the Lord, he's the Spirit of the Lord, and he is the Spirit of the Lord. Then he said, "The Spirit of wisdom." Okay, you got a situation, you got a problem, and the Lord knows about it. When the Lord tell you what to do about any problem, that, my friend, he's a spirit of wisdom to you. He's giving you the wise road to go on, to walk down. Then he said, "And the Spirit of understanding." Okay, the Lord knows things, and I asked the Lord one time, "Lord, what's your definition of understanding?" He said, "Knowing things in its right relationship." Only the Holy Spirit is perfected in giving you a perfect understanding of things. See, the Word of God gives you a God's eye view, which is understanding, right? So guess where the Word came from? All of the Word came from the Holy Spirit. He's the pure author of all of this. And he used men because God will not do anything. He will not cross the lines of our authority that he gave us. See, he makes every time he wants to do something in the earth or bring something to this realm, he does it through a man of covenant. That's why he said he'll do nothing unless he revealed it to his prophets. He's not going to cross the covenant lines. You see, when you understand covenant, the agreement you have with God, it gives you the ability to have laughter. I coined a new word called covenant laughter, or a new phrase, covenant laughter. When you yield to the Lord and you're doing things his way, a joy rises up. You have his peace already, and you can enjoy covenant laughter. See, sometimes people, they lost their laughter because they let circumstances get in their way, and they're troubled by something, and they stop laughing. Now, we don't just have our laughter back. We may lose our laughter for a season. I've done it, and I got my laughter back. But one day, I found myself laughing with covenant laughter. Now, that's when you see things from a God's eye view, and you know what the enemy can't do. You know who you are in Christ. You know what God says about your situation, and you have no fear. And you know that you're on the right track. You know that what you're doing is prospering and helping others to prosper. All of this comes from understanding and also wisdom. Then there's the spirit of counsel. Now, counsel gives you understanding of a situation from God's perspective. So the Holy Spirit can counsel you. Now, I understood things in part. All I knew in the early 90s was that, you know, in yesterday's broadcast, both of them, I said, well, the Lord showed me how he wanted to use the people that were on the scene then. They were educated in the things of God. They had broke through a lot of barriers, but they still had some ways that God couldn't use. He couldn't pour any more anointing on them than he already had. So, remember, the prophet Samuel anointed King Saul with a vial of oil, but he anointed David with a horn of oil. So a horn is much more than a vial. Well, the men that were anointed, I've seen them do miracle work. I've seen them work miracles, and I've been blessed by all the pastors that I knew in those days. And the Lord sent me to like 20 churches back then. I counted them, 20 different churches over a 3 or 4 year period. And so now that's just a fraction, but this is also the Bible Belt. This is, you know, I'm in Birmingham, the Jefferson County area. So the ones that he sent me to, you know, they were different races, they were different ages, they were, you know, the ones he sent me to, it was a synopsis of a much greater picture. So in those days in 1990, the Lord told me to get to know as many pastors as I could. So I started with people that were progressively learning the word of, and teaching the word of God. I didn't really denominational pastors. I didn't deal with them like I did the Pentecostal pastors, in all honesty, because they had another mindset. So the Lord sent me to specific ones, and anybody that was denominational, I would minister to them according to how God gave me. But he really didn't send me. He sent me to people that were more likely to follow through with what he said. And I was open to go wherever he wanted me to. I even said, Lord, how am I, if I do this, how will I cross denominational lines? Even in the Pentecostal churches, they are different. It's like a denominational line because they're different mindsets. So he said, their darkness can't instruct your light. I said, the Lord can tell you something. He can counsel you in a way that, you know, you have to go sit down and think about. So I'm doing something at God's order, and I just had to roll with it. And so I understood in part. Everything I did, I understood a part of the puzzle. I understood the revelations that he gave, and I had to trust God on it. So over time, then the Lord stopped sending me to pastors. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm supposed to be, where do I go, Lord? He didn't give me he stopped giving me specific, he stopped, you know, around 94, 95, he stopped sending me out like that. After my children were born, my daughter was born in 94, so every now and then I would give a pastor a word, but it started reducing at the end of 93. And sometimes I'd give a word, but it was seldom. It wasn't as often. It wasn't as frequent. And it lasted till 2000. In 2000, I gave very few words to pastors, if any, because the Lord had already decided to shift gears. I worked with one last pastor up until 2001. And when the Lord sent me away, that was his limit of my time with that pastor. And the Lord was looking for somebody to pour that anointing on at that point. And years went by. I worked with another pastor for years. I tried to get him on board. But I remember praying for him in the living room. And this guy's a friend of mine, too. I said, Lord, I was trying to help him break through. I was praying for him earnestly in my living room, praying for him earnestly so he'll break through. I didn't want him to miss his Rebecca moment. I didn't want him to miss his visitation, because I knew that it was going to be over soon. I knew that he wanted to pour that anointing on somebody, and I wanted it to be him. So I earnestly prayed, and the Lord stopped me. He said, he's got to make up his mind. I'm like, okay. I got up, I stopped praying, I said, well, there's nothing else I can do. I go to church the next week, and he spoke and said, the Lord told me I got to make up my mind. He was wrestling with God. No, that's a no-no. Yield to God. You know, wrestle against principalities and powers. Don't wrestle with God. Be a spirit of excellence. Yield to the Lord. That's the only way we can be a spirit of excellence. He said, I got to make up my mind. He didn't know what I was doing. And eventually the Lord sent me to the church I go to now. And I thank God that he did. I explained to my pastor then that the Lord was looking for somebody to put a pour an anointing on. See, this is very important. Sometimes God's first choice may not be, they may not do it. They may decide not to. People can decide what they're going to do. Everybody don't walk in the fullness of God's will. And I said, Lord, what if the pastors that you were trying to give this anointing to, what if they decided they wanted to cooperate now? He said, it won't happen. I said, well, why? He said, they wasted too much training time. So God had to move along. And I started understanding my ministry better. In 2006, the Lord came to me with another word. He said, don't teach foolish pastors. Now, foolish and pastors should not be in the same sentence. But it was, and it came from God. So I'm wrestling with this thought. I'm like, wait a minute now. I don't think I have animosity against these pastors. I know I long for them to follow God, but they made decisions. I love them. I wanted to make sure I was in the right spirit. So I'm thinking about this. I'm rehearsing it in my heart and mind. So I go to church and Pastor McCain said that he had it was like a vision of Jesus standing up in the synagogue while people were preaching a dead doctrine, basically, like the Pharisees used to do. He stood up and said, anybody that want to know the Lord, meet me in the parking lot. Now, that was the same season, the same week, when the Lord told me not to teach foolish pastors. And I saw what, see, the Lord want people to follow him from the heart. And so he raised up a new group of people, and it's already in play. There is a living revival going on. Now, there are ways you can know, but see, recently the Lord said, this move of God, no man can stop it. I'm like, wait a minute now. How can a man stop a move of God? They can do so by being leavened. A leavened man of God, a man that's leavened with the leaven of the world, he can shut down the move of God in his life and interfere with the move of God in other people's lives. See, if a man of God becomes well known in any area, the enemy is not going to leave him alone. The enemy is going to try to get to him, and with whatever he think will work. If it's women, the enemy will stir up women to be after him. If it's money that he'll fall for, the enemy will stir up money to come to him, to control him. So many preachers are being paid to quell the gospel and preach it the way that they think will draw a bigger crowd. To the point that they say, we don't teach about speaking in tongues anymore. They are being paid. They are not pastors anymore. They are hirelings now. They went the way of Cain. And I'm not afraid to say that, because that's exactly what... If you can deny the Holy Spirit for money, what's the difference between them and Simon the Sorcerer? Give me this money, this power, so I can have... So I'll pay you to give me this power. What's the difference? You're not going to preach the word of God. It's one thing, like the denominational churches, they were taught wrong and they never been around it. They would never been around people operating in wisdom with the Holy Spirit. You know, they may end up going to a church service, see people shouting and shaking, and then now they know they don't want any part of this because they don't know, they don't feel what the people feel. And also, when Pentecostal people see people from denominational churches, sometimes they put on a little show. Because I was there. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there, done that. They long for people to know what they have. So they try to, you know, they get, that's how people do. So I understand if a person has been taught a certain way and they really believe that this is the way it is and they just don't see it yet. Okay, he's being honest. But a person that know better, they've been there, done that. They were in camp meetings and they saw a move of the Holy Spirit. They saw people give a word of God, a word of prophecy in tongues, and somebody else interpret it. And they saw moves. They've been around it. They've handled the holy things. Now they're just going to stop for money, for prestige and fame. That doesn't make sense. And that's crossing the line to me. They've gone another way. So that's their choice. But see, this kind of training that God was going to give, the things that caused them to not receive more anointing, it would have taken training and adjustments before God could give them the anointing that would have made the difference. So because the status quo of the day didn't do that, they stayed in their confines. They followed God according to their sanctions, not his, or their specifications, or their line of thought. They tried to keep God in their line of thought, and they became more dedicated within that. I noticed that they were trying to be more like God in their line of thought, and not coming out of the divisive ways. And sometimes the way that they handle the people that were progressing out of the darkness, they would give them the left foot of fellowship. And sometimes they would have Cain jealousy. See, God can't pour more oil on Cain jealousy. And, you know, you don't want to think that a pastor would be that way, but when God give you a dream and show you what people say in their heart, and then when you talk to them about it, it's real. It's real. So God can't pour more oil on that. Now, racism, you know, God, just like everybody can understand, God is not going to pour more anointing oil on racism. You got to dry that out. You got to get rid of it. Same thing with pride, greed, lust, Cain jealousy, Saul jealousy, which is even worse. That's to know about is wrong. See, Cain was, he was the first murderer. So he never done that before. But after he did regret it. Now, Saul knew what Cain did, but he didn't care. He kept trying to kill David again and again. And he never really repented. He just stopped because he found out he was outclassed. Then he asked David to not kill his sons. And he still wanted David dead, but he just didn't try it again. Then he saw the witch. Then he asked an Amalekite to take him out. And he tried to kill himself. He never repented. Then he asked that Amalekite kid to finish him off. And then David killed that Amalekite for killing Saul. Now listen, God has a protocol. He has to do things the way that he does it. So he raised up people that would obey him, that would follow him, that won't have Cain jealousy. They can't be controlled by money. He showed me the protocols of the people. And they're less educated. I say they're less educated because they may not have gone to Bible college, but they did break through enough for God to anoint them. And God will make the difference. I want people to understand that well. So also, he's not using point men like he once did. Like one man, he's trusting one man to do this great move of God that's going to inspire others. No. Them days are gone. He's using individuals that love him, that seek his character. He's doing mighty works through them. See, many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. Not all, but many. So the people that were discounted are the people he's pouring that oil on, that anointing on, and they are reaping the harvest as individual groups. Not just one point man, but many. And they can't be controlled. There's no way that the enemy can control this. It's too many. And they're individualized. The enemy can't get to thousands and millions of people doing this. And they're growing the church a few people here, a few people there. And see, when you get 1 million people, let's say they minister, they get 5 people saved. I love it. I love the math of God. That's 5 million people, you know, over a period of time. And this thing is growing. The Lord said this revival will change the economy. See, he gave insights about it. So when you follow God, you're doing your part. And you have many brothers and sisters doing the same thing. The mindsets of people, it changes slow. People trust what they believe. You can't tell them that they're wrong. You can't, the God's eye view versus the personal view, eye view, is two different things. If people not receive, if they're not receiving the God's eye view, and the only way to do that is to follow him. Receive his word and do exactly what Jesus say, not a version of what he say, but do precisely what Jesus say. And then as you continue forward, you practice it, then you learn things you couldn't learn any other way. And that the only way to have the God's eye view is fill your heart with the word and act on it as a way of life. Now, I didn't understand God's counsel for a few decades later. And he started giving me assignments according to what he was doing. So I was just trusting God for most decades. And then the last 5 or 10 years, I started seeing what to do. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. But consider these things. The Lord, he has so much to say. And when you, as you receive the God's eye view, you'll be able to do and finish a greater work. And he loves his people. You'll be appropriate. You'll be covenant appropriate. And it'll work. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy that covenant laughter. Stay in victory.